Scott Spears back with you here for hour number two on this January 3rd as the illness, see I don't even know what to call it, progresses into my throat. The longer I talk, the more hoarse I get. I might not have any voice by tomorrow, or maybe by the end of this hour. You know how you can just feel it in your throat, and every time you talk, you feel like you're going to cough? That's where we are right now. Maybe tomorrow, it'll all be gone. Started in the body aches, then went to the lungs, now it's in the throat. We'll see where it ends up. But we're not going to let that get in the way of our fun, because we're still doing trivia here today, and we've got quite a few questions answered, so maybe we'll get quite a few more answered here over the next 45 minutes. So here's the longest-serving trivia question at this point, and I don't think we've had any guesses at this one today. Who was the very well-known writer, reporter, for the Marion Star that used to do the obituaries very well? Now, she's still in Marion, she's still alive, and if you had a newspaper, Marion Star, anytime between the 1960s and the 1990s, you would probably see her name. Who is this reporter? 740-383-9944. What year did the Poppin' Drop start in Marion, where they dropped the popcorn ball on New Year's Eve? What year did that start? Where was the first Poppin' Drop held? You can just kind of give me the vicinity in Marion of where it was. Does anybody remember where the Poppin' Drop was held, the first one? Go ahead, caller.
Excuse me. Was it Marge Longo?
Not Marge Longo, but about that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, the question is, who is this very well-known writer for the Marion Star? She was there for about 30 years, the 60s to the 90s, and she was known for doing the obituaries. Now, she's still alive. She's still here in Marion. Does anybody know who this is? This seems to be our most difficult question. Go ahead, caller.
Brenda Donegan?
Not Brenda Donegan.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. No, not Brenda Donegan. She was there during that era, though. I know Brenda knew this person. Like I say, she was there from the 60s to the 90s. She did features, reports, and news stories. Kind of an all-around person at the Marion Star. She's still alive. She's still here in Marion. Who is this person? They used to say she had a real knack for writing the obituaries. Who was it? 740-383-9944. What year did the Poppin' Drop start in Marion? When we started dropping the popcorn ball on New Year's Eve? When was the first time that was done? Which New Year's Eve? Where was the first Poppin' Drop held? Now, it was held in a certain area. If you can just give me the area, I'll give you that one. Where was the first Poppin' Drop held in Marion, where they dropped the popcorn ball on New Year's Eve? Who is the clerk at the medicine shop who was there for about 30 years? Just have to give me her first name. Hope we get this one. Go ahead, caller.
I think the first drop was at Busby Park.
It wasn't at Busby Park. I think they moved it there, but the first one wasn't at Busby.
Okay, I thought that was the first one.
No, okay. That's a good guess.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, well, actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, let me see here. I did the broadcast of the first Pop and Drop. I broadcast from Busby Park. Now, Busby Park is the park there next to Park Place. I think it's Attaboy's now. Is that where Attaboy's is? I haven't been down there in a while. Now, I did the broadcast from Busby Park, but they didn't actually drop the ball in Busby Park. Where did they drop the ball? Now, if I did the broadcast from Busby Park, you have a pretty good indication of where they dropped the ball. It was kind of an odd place, in my opinion, to drop the ball. I don't know why they did it this way. They moved it. I think they did drop it in Busby Park after that, and then they moved it to a parking lot. I'm not sure where they drop it now. But that's close, because I remember I was standing in Busby Park when they dropped the first popcorn ball. But where did they drop it? It's in that area. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. Does anybody remember what year that was? What was the year of the first pop and drop? Who was the clerk at the medicine shop for well over 30 years? I know if somebody called the medicine shop over here on East Center Street and said, hey, who was your clerk? Who was that female clerk here for 30 years? They would tell you her name. I thought more people would be familiar with her getting medicine over here at the medicine shop on East Center Street. Does anybody know who this was? 740-383-9944. What's the name of the amusement park that used to be over in Russell's Point on Indian Lake? The amusement park did have a name. Does anybody know what the name of that amusement park was? 740-383-9944. Who created the character of Flippo the Clown? It was a company. It would have been Flippo the Clown's first sponsor. Does anybody know who that was? Who created the character of Flippo the Clown? It was his first sponsor. Where is the Flippo the Clown costume at today? You can still see it. Where is it? Where is the clown? Where is the costume that Flippo the Clown, Bob Marvin, used to wear? Where is it located at? If you're a Harding High School graduate, you should know this one. What happens for seniors on the last day of school before graduation? It's a tradition. I think it still goes on at Harding High School. What big event happens the last day for seniors at Harding High School? Does anybody know the answer to that one? Kind of an emotional event for people. 740-383-9944. I'll add one more new question here today. Jimmy Crum, we talked about him yesterday, famous Ohio sportscaster. What was his catchphrase? Does anybody know what Jimmy Crum's catchphrase was? He was known for saying something. What was that? Jimmy Crum's catchphrase. 740-383-9944. Okay, those are the questions on the table. What was Jimmy Crum's catchphrase? What happens the last day for seniors at Harding High School? Where is Flippo the Clown's costume currently at? What company created Flippo the Clown? It was the business that first owned his show. What's the name of the amusement park over in Russell's Point on Indian Lake? Does anybody know the name of that? What year was the first pop and drop? Where was the first pop and drop?
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. The last day of the school, was it a bonfire?
Not a bonfire. It's something that actually happens inside the school.
Oh, inside the school.
Inside the school.
Oh, I should remember that because I graduated from there, but I don't remember. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, the question is, what is the event, if you're a Harding High School senior, it's been a tradition for a long time, that they do on the last day of school for seniors? What is that event? It actually happens at the school. Does anybody know what that is? Does anybody know who the clerk was at the medicine shop for about 30 years? All we need is her first name. Does anybody know who that was? Where was the first pop and drop held? Now, I broadcast from Busby Park that year, so that should tell you about where they dropped this ball. Does anybody know where they dropped it? What year did they start dropping the ball, the pop and drop? Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to let you think about these questions for a minute. Now, as many of you know, yesterday, legendary Mean Gene Okerlund passed away at age 76. I had to interview Mean Gene several times. Last time I had him on was 2014. We're going to go back and recount a memory of an interview I did with Gene Okerlund back in 2014. Gene passed away yesterday at the age of 76.
This is Scott Spears, and on Monday, February 24th, World Wrestling Entertainment takes a huge jump as WWE Network launches, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming network. The cost? $9.99 a month with a 6-month subscription. This includes every live pay-per-view, including WrestleMania 30. Go to WWE.com for sneak peeks and information. Joining us today to discuss this and a few other things is my all-time favorite announcer, who has not been with us, I've checked this today, since March of 2006. He's the legendary Mean Gene Okerlund. Gene, how are you? Haley's Comet comes around more often than you.
Well, to tell you the truth, I've kind of been hiding out. I've got people looking for me, and Scott, I can't let them track me down, so I've got to stay off the air. And only have somebody like Captain Lou Albano tape anything that I do in its entirety and then air it on a station off a satellite in a foreign country.
Gene, how have you been?
Very, very good. Health is good. Life is good. I'm not nuts about getting a little older, but you know what? It still is a pretty good ride even today with the involvement that I have with the company.
Absolutely, and the pipes are still intact.
The pipes, why don't they go away? I kind of oil them up every now and then with a little refreshment.
Beverage of your choice.
A cold beverage of my choice.
Gene, I want to get into this right away because this is kind of an historic week we're coming up. WWE Network, what do you think?
Well, I think it's going to absolutely revolutionize the television, quote, pay-per-view business, because I don't know, you could see a little flinching right now on the part of the satellite people, especially Dish and DirecTV, but this is going to affect people like Comcast. I know it's all of a sudden that they're right now, I guess, looking at a merger with Time Warner, AOL, picking up even more subscribers, Cablevision, all of this, all over the country, all over the world. It's going to change on February 24th, and that's just moments away.
You know, Gene, certainly so many things that WWE has done have been huge successes, but there have been a few bumps. I think the XFL didn't turn out as great as people would have hoped. In a YouTube world, in a cell phone world, in a videotape, DVD, any way you can get this classic footage, Will the classic footage hold up 24 hours, 7 days a week on a pay network?
Well, I think it will. Plus, the price is ridiculously low. I mean, for $10 a month, you're getting access to all of that programming, including the primo pay-per-views, and as you mentioned yourself, WrestleMania. So, I mean, you subscribe now, and you get WrestleMania free. That actually, that the price of that WrestleMania package is right around 60-some-odd dollars anyway. So for that price, you, you're getting kind of a freebie with the 6 months and other pay-per-views and all of that extra programming that's going to be available. Many of it archived, matches from, gosh, I'm thinking as long as maybe 50, 60, 70 years ago. Some of it has even been digitalized from film, so it's a big undertaking.
Absolutely, absolutely. Gene, I've read some things. I know you'll be a part of this new program called Legends House, which I want to touch on here in a minute. But how else will you be involved in the network?
Well, you know, obviously I do some hosting still. I'm co-hosting a program called Vintage Collection, which airs worldwide. Vintage is the best of the past, and I co-host that with a young lady from Toronto by the name of Renee Young. And you see her on Raw and occasionally on SmackDown. And she's a great young piece of talent that is very knowledgeable in the product, both now and from the past. So there's going to be a lot of things to do. Plus, we do a roundtable discussion in kind of a barroom setting, if you will, called The Legends of Wrestling. And we bring in some of the old-timers, Pat Patterson, Michael Hayes, JR used to sit on the board there, but he since left the company. But even just Roddy Piper's been there. Ric Flair has been there. But it's just kind of discussing some of the things and really getting it out on the table and telling the inside stories of our very exciting business.
You know, Gene, it's kind of interesting. A show like that today can survive, and I've seen that program, very entertaining. But it is a bit of a business, exposing the wrestling business, if it could be any more exposed, you know, behind-the-scenes stories. Why does the live program, the pay-per-view with the storyline still work when it can also be exposed by the same company?
But I think, you know, it's now called sports entertainment, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep that in mind, it's not just pure sport, but it is entertaining. So with all these storylines and the episodic television, oh my God, what do we've got? 1,000 episodes of Raw since 1992. It's the longest running episodic television show on the air today. And it still garners damn good ratings, in my estimation, taking a look at the fragmentation of television as we know it today. You know, you probably have at home 500-600 channels or access to that many. We've got high def, we got all of this. Now, all of a sudden with this streaming, don't think there aren't going to be some people, including, and I'm just going to venture a guess here, this may be shaking a few people in the upper floors of the office, but you may be seeing UFC ultimately go to streaming.
Mm.
Because distributors are paid a lot of money. So anybody that is brokering that product to its viewers or subscribers is making a pretty good cut of the kitty. All the money that goes on the WWE network goes right to the company, and I think quite a bit of that is going to trickle down to the bottom line.
Which is always a good thing in business. Gene,
it is. It's a good thing even outside of business.
Anywhere you go. Gene, I love the concept of this show. I would buy the network alone on the Legends House. You, Roddy Piper, Tony Atlas, Hillbilly Jim, a few other guys. What's this like? What's this all about?
Well, it was, I'd say, 5 weeks of hell to live with these total of 8 legends in the Legends House. A lot of it was shot out west, out in Palm Springs and Rancho Mirage. We did a little work up in Las Vegas also. And I'd like to, Scott, let you and your vast audience in on everything, but then it wouldn't be a surprise. I think people are going to be shocked at some of the things that happen and some of the revelations that involve the people participating. Jimmy Hart, for instance, is a kind of a kooky little guy. I don't know if he's a vegetarian or what, but he's strange in that respect. Tony Atlas has got his own tastes. He spent a little time in the kitchen. I think they're going to find it very entertaining, and it's the interaction of eight, and let's face it, you know, seven out of the eight are members of the Hall of Fame, so I think that in itself speaks for the kind of quality you're going to get out of that show. These guys have been down the road, and they have done it all. And Hillbilly Jim will be in the Hall someday, but as you know, he had an injury early on in his career that I think cut short a great start.
I think you're exactly right. I think most people would agree. Gene, we don't want to blow anything about the Legends House yet, but since we have you on the line, was it hard to have these cameras around you, and what did we learn, what might we learn about Mean Gene that we don't know?
Well, you're going to learn all that I've got a foul mouth, that I can get upset, that I'll have an occasional refreshment, but I don't think you're going to learn anything that's any different than my usually on-camera persona. The one thing about me is I've worked in front of microphones and cameras for so long that I kind of become oblivious to them, even though you do work the camera. But I just pretended like there weren't any there, and that worked out for the better.
That's great to hear. Gene, you mentioned it earlier on, WrestleMania 30 is on the precipice here. You were at number one. 30 years, does it feel like it?
Nah, not really. Of course, I missed a few in between my days at WCW. But I figure, roughly, I was in on 21 of the now 30 WrestleManias, and I think what became a very important part of the WrestleMania weekend with fan access and all of the social things that were going on was the Hall of Fame. And I believe that in 1999, we started to crank that thing up on a regular basis, and it also became a big part of that WrestleMania weekend. And you take a look, we've got a celebrity wing. I mean, Bob Uecker's in there, Pete Rose, Muhammad Ali. You've got the best of the best that have thrown their hat in the ring with the crowd from WWE. And I'm proud to be a member of the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Is Muhammad Ali in there? I didn't realize he was in there.
Well, I know Liberace isn't, but...
And he should be.
Yes. Yeah, well, he should be.
And so,
Liberace was the consummate entertainer, and on that subject, there was a lot of chatter recently, in recent weeks, about the inducting of Mr. T
should be
into this year's WWE Hall of Fame. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said WrestleMania 1 to WrestleMania 30, does it seem like 30 years? You know, Mr. T was involved in the main event at WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2, and I think that he definitely should be in the Hall of Fame. Whether it's this year or not, you know how long it took for Bruno Sammartino to be inducted.
Well, I want to touch on this, Gene, the Hall of Fame this year. A lot of controversy on the internet with the bloggers. The first guy announced the Ultimate Warrior. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, he was a world champion. He was the Intercontinental Champion. He was a very electrifying performer as far as the crowds were concerned. I traveled around the country with him. Doing, you know, we did so much television back then, still do. But, some people say work ethic, but you know what he did? He entertained him. Hulk Hogan, perhaps, was not the greatest worker, per se, in the ring. But you know what he had to do, Scott? He put asses in seats, and that means something. That's what the Ultimate Warrior did, and... Listen, I interviewed the guy, and I couldn't figure out what he was saying. So, does he belong there? Yeah, he does.
His speech should be very interesting, I think.
Take me to the moon.
Gene, you mentioned his name right there, and you know it as well as I do. It's all over the internet. People are saying Hogan could return Monday. Do you know anything? Give us the scoop if you do.
Well, I tell you the truth, I don't. I have had lunch with Hogan, and I would certainly have to think at this juncture, from everything that I've been able to ascertain, that he's going to return home to WWE. He had, of course, a life in WCW. He had a life in TNA, but nothing like the heroic life that he had in the old WWF and WWE. I think this guy was the pillar of the company when Vince McMahon jumped in the driver's seat back in late 1983, built up to the Rock and Wrestling Connection, which Hulk was such a big part of. And then, of course, what can I say about WrestleMania 1? Hulkamania then was the rage.
If he does not return Monday and does not return before WrestleMania 30, will that impact? Should he be there?
Well, there's a couple of different ways to look at it, different trains of thought. I think it would be probably a little more surprising for him just to show up at WrestleMania 30. But on the other hand, in the business sense, wouldn't you like to have your potential audience know that he is going to be arriving in the Big Easy in New Orleans at the 30th edition of this once-a-year spectacular? I mean, it's the Super Bowl. It's the World Series. It's the biggest thing in wrestling.
I get a feeling he might be back Monday, and I think you might feel that way, too. And it might be nice.
Well, I'm probably going to be in Cleveland, Scott, so who knows? But I know they've got the Elimination Chamber coming up on Sunday, and could be that Monday Raw, you might see him. But I'm not going to outguess the guys that know. And somebody does know.
Exactly right. Gene, first time the 10-year anniversary of WrestleMania has been out of New York. What do you feel about that?
I feel it's a good thing, and I'll tell you why. Last year, we were there for WrestleMania 29 at the MetLife Stadium, Giant Stadium over in New Jersey. And, of course, the night before, we had the Hall of Fame at Madison Square Garden. But I truly believe, Scott, that the big venues are where it's at now. You're not gonna see a WrestleMania in the Bradley Center in Milwaukee, at the United Center in Chicago, probably not even at the Staples Center in Los Angeles or Madison Square Garden. I think you're gonna see it in the big outdoor venues. I think everybody knows that we're on our way to San Francisco. Santa Clara, I believe, is the new stadium for the 49ers. And then the year after, I've been told that Dallas and the Cowboys stadium down there is going to be, those are venues that can hold 75, 80, 85,000 people. And that's numbers.
You know, Gene, your friend there from Legends House, Roddy Piper, has made some rumblings that he would like to wrestle Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 30. At this age and stage in those guys' career, not that they weren't great, is that a smart move?
Well, there's a lot of additional body parts on both of them there, right? I think it would be probably, in my estimation, bad judgment on anybody's part to... Even though it's in the heart, is it still in the body? It's in the mind, but it's still in the knees and the hips and everything else. Hey, Hulk Hogan looks great. He looks fantastic. There's not a discernible difference from today going back to when I met him in 1980, 79 and 80. Roddy Piper looks great today, but he's had hip replacement, and I don't think you really want to bounce around with those kind of things. I know I surely would not want to, if I had a hip, want to take a chance on going in there and have to go through all of that again. Not a picnic.
Gene,
you're going to get the money anyway.
Exactly right. And they should be there in some form or fashion. Maybe just not in the ring. Gene, you've done so much in wrestling, and you're involved with the network, which is great. Do you miss Monday nights being there, ground zero?
I do, in a way, and being a part of it on an ongoing basis. But the travel today is a lot different than it was 30 years ago. And I've been on and off the company since late 1983, and certainly have logged enough miles that I'm a multi-million miler on at least two or three different airlines. So that's a tough part of the job. John Cena himself will say, I love the Monday nights and the roar of the crowd and the sound of the bell and the smell of the popcorn. But, you know, you still got to get on the blower. You got to drag your gear and the luggage and everything up to a hotel room and pack and unpack. And it's a tough life. It's also a lonely life, which some people don't realize. Oh, yeah, you're working with, a couple of dozen guys and all of your ground people, referees, television people. But still, at the end of the night, you're in that hotel room by yourself, and it's off to another location the next day. So it gets to be a grind, and it gets to be hard. But these guys today, they're younger. They're much better physical shape, I think, than the generations before them. And I think that's the only life they know. I never had to go through TSA when I first started flying. Today it's a pain in the rear end.
I think most would agree. Gene, last time you were on this program, it was 2 weeks before your Hall of Fame induction. It was a great speech you gave, inducted by Hulk Hogan. You said you did
not. He married me.
He did.
Yeah, right.
He said he did. You said you did not want to retire. Has that changed?
Retire to what, Scott? Think about it. Retire to what? I live in Florida in the winter months. I go up to northern Minnesota for 3 or 4 months in the summer and fall, and still travel enough that I get to see a little bit of everything. Plus, it's not a real bad idea to get out of the house now and then, so I get a chance to do that. But I still hunt, fish, play golf, do all of the things that I've done through the years. It's just a little easier now because I have less time that I have to kind of put against the work that I do. And it's easy work for me because I've done it all my life.
You don't want to retire, but you don't necessarily want to jump on the planes like you used to. What is in the future? Is there something left you still want to do?
Well, you know, I just kind of like going along right now, status quo. I had a great conversation with Regis Philbin at the NAMPTE convention out in Las Vegas one time, and he was then about my age right now, and now I believe Regis has got to be into his 80s, well into his 80s, maybe 82 or 83, but he still has this zest for life. And I see him crawling all over furniture and jumping around, facelift here and there. And the guy looks good. He keeps the mind active. So he's doing what he wants to do. Why would you retire? What? To play an extra set of tennis? An extra round of golf? Nah.
But do you want to do something outside of wrestling? Would you like to do more Fan Fest? Would you? And is there something, a movie, TV show?
Movies are really kind of a pain. I've done my share of movies. I think last count was 10 or 11. And I spent over 40 days on location to do Ready to Rumble. And I've got to be very honest with you, that was a total piece of garbage. And it was a waste of my time. However, I did get paid for it, so what am I saying?
Not a total waste.
Not a total waste.
I want to hit you with some quick rapid fire here as we approach the end of this interview, Gene. Highlight of your career, best moment?
Best moment is multiple best moments. I think one of the highlights had to be WrestleMania 1. Just just getting to the WWE initially was kind of culture shock for me because they had such great production values. And when Dick Ebersol from NBC kind of teamed up with Vince McMahon and they started doing all of these things that led to Saturday Night's Main Event, I got a chance to do some of the periphery things like Friday Night Videos and Saturday Night's Main Event. So there was a lot of opportunities there. But I think another big moment for me was the day I stepped in front of a camera and a microphone at WCW and joined the crew down there. I think change is good for everybody. I've never made a change in my life that I regret.
You know, Gene, so much is made of the problems in WCW. Was it really that bad on the level?
Well, it was a zoo, and it was hastily organized. I think the basic thought process there was, let's throw money at it and see if it sticks. Well, it did for a while. But you still have to have the unique creativity that Vince has been able to do, either by himself, with people he surrounded himself with now, including writers. Back in the days when I started out, things were not planned quite that tight, but you know what it did? It made people like Bobby Heenan, Gene Okerlund, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Ric Flair, the Macho Man, I can go on and on and on. Maybe the Jesse Ventura. But it made you better people. Because you wrote your own stories on your feet.
Exactly right. Was there ever a career low? A time when you just said, boy, this is terrible?
No. No, I never really had that. Because I managed to be fortunate enough to segue from you know, one thing to another, and there wasn't a lot of downtime for me. I did shows like Confidential. I think that was, you know, groundbreaking. We were trying to do a magazine show, turning the cameras on ourselves and showing what was going on. And that had a two-year run. I think it could have gone longer, but for why? The other thing that I'm really proud of is what we're doing today, and I think this giant step into the future by the network, and it's going to give me at least the opportunity, if I want, to do a lot more work. I'm going to be in New York and Stanford, I'll bet you 2 weeks out of every month, and I like that.
Good.
I'm busy, you're interacting with television people, with creative people, and with a lot of talent.
Let me hit you with these next questions really quick here, Gene. Jesse Ventura, you mentioned there, he's made a little rumbling, might run for president. Do you think it'll happen?
No, absolutely not. In a word, no.
Any particular reason you can give us real quick?
Well, I think Jesse is at the age right now where he doesn't want to run that hard. And he's got a pretty good life, you know. He's made lots of money. And his wife has had enough. When he was governor, I think that left a very bad taste in his mouth. Ric Flair and myself had lunch with him up at his office in the state capitol up in Minnesota. And he said, this is it. I'm a one-term governor. And he was.
He was. Gene, you've had two kidney transplants.
Three.
How is that going?
That's going fantastic. Matter of fact, I pay my doctor to come on over and have a cocktail with me once every 6 months.
He's on the speed dial.
He is.
Nothing wrong with that.
And also the olives.
Gene, it's the question that's bandied around in wrestling blog rooms, chat rooms for years. You've seen them all. Sam Martino, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, who is the guy that's going to be on top remembered in 100 years?
I think, of course, Bruno Sammartino, Andre the Giant, Ric Flair, Macho Man, all these guys, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mick Foley, I mean, I can go on and on, Triple H, I mean, they were all, Shawn Michaels, my God, Bret Hart. You can go on and on and on, but I think the one man that was the face of wrestling when most of the population of not only this country, but the world, Scott, were formulating their tastes in television and in wrestling, in sports entertainment. That one man, Hulk Hogan. But boy, what a supporting cast he had.
What? I couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you more. Two questions left here, Gene, and I don't want to part on a sad note here, but when I heard and think about this WWE network and all the great things it's going to do, and I think of all the guys who are sadly no longer with us who can't be a part of it, but I think of somebody who is but unfortunately can't contribute anymore, and that's Bobby Heenan.
Well, Bobby Heenan, believe it or not, he can contribute. I talked with him, you know, not actually talked, but certainly communicated with him. He got dealt a bad hand, Scott. But he was, in the minds of all of us, probably one of the real unique pieces of talent to ever get in the ring. This guy never finished high school. But, you know, he could emote so much hatred. Verbally, and things that he would do that I think toward the end, Bobby Heenan was a guy that people loved to hate.
There was a lot of love for Bobby Heenan, and you're right, I did misspeak there. He certainly can contribute mentally, but is there a bigger tragedy than a guy who was so witty and so good as a broadcaster not to be able to speak at this point?
Yeah, that is a travesty. It happened to Gordon Solie, and it's happened to other people that we, of course, are not in the mainstream of our business and entertainment, and it's bad for all of them. But you know what, Scott? It was a bad hand. It was a delta to Bobby. But I'll tell you what, he's a very big man in my mind in the way that he's dealt with it. He's dealt with this adversity, and he's been able to carry on a good life with his wife and his daughter and his grandchildren and a couple of old guys like me. I worked with Bobby 28 years together and enjoyed every minute of it. Oh, he'd be a pain in the ass from time to time if you had to fly in the same plane with him. But you know what? I still consider Bobby Heenan one of my closest friends in the entire world.
Never be another Bobby Heenan. Never.
Never.
Never. Gene, the question we always part on, how do you want to be remembered? Well, you had a great line at the Hall of Fame, and it was beautiful to your critics, but how, honestly, you're going to be remembered. You are the Larry Merchant of professional wrestling.
Yeah, and they've got all these little online greatest announcers of all times, and what they're looking at is they're looking at play-by-play guys. And I never, myself, consider myself to be a play-by-play man. Even though I did all kinds of play-by-play through the years. Even when I didn't want to do it, I did it. But I want to be remembered as a guy that the Bob Costas says you do conduct one of a hell of a very interesting interview. And I think that's what I want to be remembered, that I got as much out of guys and gals, for that matter, as I possibly could, saying the least amount of words.
And the look did not serve you bad.
No, I took a kind of a bad chop on that haircut the last time out, but no. But I think you have to react. When you can't react verbally, you've got to react with expression.
Exactly. Gene, quick question. Was it your idea to always work in the tuxedo?
Well, I didn't always work in a tuxedo. That was something that we did for very special events. Back in the old days when I was in the AWA, the American Wrestling Association, but all of a sudden, took the tuxedo out for the big events, and WrestleMania 1 was certainly a big event, but I worked in the tuxedo before that because you know what, Scott, they were all big events, so I kind of dropped that and went to Vince talked me into some of those crazy looking sport coats that only he would wear. But they all served a purpose. And when I do something that I think is a black tie function, like the Hall of Fame, I'll usually dress up in a tuxedo or a dinner jacket or very nice suit, something appropriate.
And I want to say that before I part. It is a shame, Gene, if you are not calling the shots, that you are not the MC of the Hall of Fame every year. The first 2 years you did it, 2004, 2005, you're the perfect guy to do it. I don't know who's making that decision, but I hope you do it again.
I'm sure that day will come, and I would look forward to it. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. It's fun work.
It absolutely is. The WWE Network, it's an historic day. It's February 24th. By the way, it's my birthday. Can you believe that?
February 24th is your birthday?
It absolutely is.
God, what a small world. I had no idea. Your birthday is on the same day that the network kicks off.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah, and how old, Scott?
33.
33.
Yeah, same number. Bam, bam.
Right.
I tell you what, it's going to come Monday. It's going to be great. Go to the WWE.com to check out all the information. They'll give it to you. I'm sure it's going to be a big success. Gene, my goodness, it's been 8 years, but I tell you what, you're very busy. I know that, but I can't thank you enough for stopping by. You are a legend. You're a legend for me for many years, and you will be for many years, and I love hearing your voice.
Well, Scott, keep up the good work, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Mean Gene Okerlund. Thank you.
Gene Okerlund, sadly gone yesterday at the age of 76, but certainly he will never be forgotten. What a guy he was. That interview was from 2014. He was a world-class guy. I like Gene a lot. We have about a minute left. Does anybody have any answers to any of the trivia questions? 740-383-9944. Does anybody know who that writer was for the Marion Star, or when the first pop and drop was, or who the clerk was at the medicine shop for so many years, the name of the amusement park at Russell's Point, where Flippo's costume is, what was Jimmy Crumb's catchphrase? 740-383-9944. We still have about a minute left. It's been fun today. And my voice held up, and I thank you for sticking with us, and I thank you for your continued support. Tomorrow morning, we kick off the day with Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 10 a.m., and then 11 a.m., it's Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett, and we're going to take a phone call here.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Jimmy Crumb's catchphrase is barn burner, wasn't it?
He did use that one, but that wasn't the one I was thinking of. But he did used to say barn burner all the time. You are right.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, he did used to call them a barn burner, but he used to say something else, too. Does anybody remember what it was? 740-383-9944. Glad you stuck with us out there. We had a lot of fun. Answered a lot of questions, and we'll be back tomorrow. This is Scott Spears for this day, heading for the dugout.
Sometimes I say, no, that's Marlo Thomas. I said, Marlo has the money, and Marla is